The Mishnah for Bi'aron, Al HaTorah from Rav Aaron Cutler. Aaron Cutler, of course, was the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, which had a couple more people than we have this morning. When it started, it had about a million of people. And I think when Rav Aaron passed away, there were like 250 men learning in Lakewood. So, Baruch Hashem, it's grown quite a bit over there. Okay, but two nice, very nice yesodos, two different little pieces. Very nice yesodos. Okay, the first one is Moshe shenikra ish mitzri nikra ish elokim. Right? Moshe was called an ish mitzri, and then he was called an ish elokim. What's he referring to? When Moshe comes to Yisro's home, so the daughters say, ish mitzri hitzilanu miyad haron. A mitzri man saved us. And they thought Moshe was an Egyptian. They didn't know who he was. Based on his dress, he looked Egyptian. So he said, an Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds who were bullying us. Says the Medrash, Amar Rabbi Berechia, Chaviv haya Moshe mi Noach. Moshe was more Chaviv than Noach. Noach, Mishenikra Ish Tzadik. Noach started off being called, what, Noach Ish Tzadik. And then later, after he comes out of the Teva and he plants his vineyard, he's called, what, Nikra Ish Hadama. So he had a Yerida. He went from being a Tzadik to being a plain person, an Ish Hadama. About Moshe's life trajectory was the opposite. Moshe, Mishenikri, Ish Mitzri, Nikri, Ish Elokim. First he's called the Mitzri, and then he becomes, by the end of the Torah, he's a man of God, which the Medrash says a very intense thing. The Medrash says, what does it mean, Ish Elokim? The lower half of him is Ish, and the upper half of him is Elokim. Meaning Moshe was godly. Not God, of course, Chas V'Shalom, but he was godly. He became very godly. Okay? Explains Rav Aaron Cutler. V'hainu d'rotzon Hashem yisbarach hu. Sha'adam yiyeh b'matzav sha'aliyah bilti posekes. Let's just think about this for a second. Right? Noach did so much. Just think about what Noach did for the world. He did so much. He worked so hard. And then he made one choice which was like less than ideal. But says Rav Aaron Cutler, you see here that a person is expected, again, it's not about how fast a person grows, but it's about the general direction of one's life. That a person is supposed to be in a matzav of aliyah, of constant growth, bilti posekes, never-ending growth. Lo listapik madrigosav asagosav, never to be satisfied with his madriga, with his attainments in this world. Af im hein gvoas valyonos, even if he's done unbelievable things. Rak tamid lalos od vod, a person needs to constantly try to raise the bar in his life. So what did Noach do wrong? And let's think about at what point, like meaning what had Noach accomplished beforehand in terms of making an effort to make a difference. He started by planting a vineyard. Right, when he came out of the Teva, his first plant was a vineyard. He decided to plant grapes. Shagam achrei madrigosav hagadolos, after achieving such awesome levels. Shenitzla habriya al yado v'tzidkasa, that the whatever was going to survive from the pre-Mabul world was what was through his efforts and in his merit, in the merit of his tzidkus. V'achrei kol hachesed sha'asu Noach u'bnei beiso. Top of the next page. After everything that Noach and his family did, the meshech kol zman hayosim b'teva, Noach was coughing up blood. Noach was suffering. He didn't sleep in the teva. After his unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh to build a Teva and to provide for the animals. Deshena be'eneim lo'ro. They didn't see any sleep during that period of the Teva. V'shimshu as kol ha'chayiv abheiman. They served. They stood by, ready to serve every animal with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Mikol makum ha'isa tviya gedola kol kach. And yet, he makes one little mistake after the Mavo. It was not the best choice. And he's there's such a taina against him, such a tviya against him. It's very intense. Afsha b'tzei sameh teva harei haya micho vasam la'asos laman yishav olam echadash. Of course, Noach's decision to plant could be argued as being entirely appropriate. It's expected, it's incumbent upon Noach to rebuild the world. Mikol makom nitva al shehikdin netiyas karam. But he's taken to task for starting with what? With grapes. Starting by planting a vineyard. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, let's give Noach benefit of the doubt that he was doing it for a good reason. What with these grapes? La kravas nesachim. to pour wine along with his carpets, as was done in the Beis HaMikdash. The Harei Lamad Noach Torah, we know Torah, the other Gam Din Nesachim, and presumably he had some sense, again, some intuition about the fact that karbanos are often accompanied by wine. And if you'll say, well, hold on a second, when an Andrew brings a karban, which an Andrew can do, it doesn't come along with Nesachim, it's not accompanied by wine libations, right? Achare Matan Torah, Achare Gam, ala karbanos, shikriv lo nitzdava. But you could say, listen, Noach didn't have an obligation to bring a karban, and he didn't have an obligation to pour wine, but he was intending to do both. More than that, you could argue even more simply, v'gam mitzad shayayin misameach, let's be honest. After going through what the world went through, wine doesn't have to be associated with you know, drunkenness. Wine could be something that brings joy to a person. That's what the psukim describe. V'arei haya olam shemama v'zekukim hayu l'simcha. The world was desolate and it needed some simcha. Again, not God forbid drunkenness, but just a sense of joy. Ach mikol makum, yet nonetheless, since he planted the vineyard and mixed into his intention was something of a little bit of a physical nature, and when a person focuses on physicality to the exclusion of avodas Hashem, that itself is a form of yirida. And therefore the Torah changed his nickname, so to speak, from what? From being Ish Tzadik, now he became Ish Adama. It's a very intense taina against the person. And again, we have to try to understand it in a healthy way. But you see that a person can accomplish so much and then feel like I get to a point where like I'm good. Like I've reached my spiritual plateau and now the goal is to just kind of do maintenance to maintain my level. And you see, Noach, after he builds a teva and he saves the whole world, Hashem says he still has to make good choices, Noach. It's incumbent upon you to try to move the world forward. It's a lot. It's a lot, but I think there's a healthy way to take from this as well. V'gam amru chazal. It says that Noach was what? Vayachel. That he made himself chulin, shenasa chulin. Right? That Noach made himself chulin. Noach made himself plain. He made himself mundane. Afshagam oz adayin nishar navi. He was still a navi. He was still communicating with God. V'dvarav odos asidos habriya benogeya letodos shem cham v'yafes nichtuvu betorav v'nizkaimu. The occurrences of his life, his communications with shem cham and yafes will become Torah itself, which will last forever. V'yu kayamim l'kol yimos olam, which is eternity. Ach mikol makom haisa kan yirida. There was an element of yirida here. U'mimena nigram kilkul gadol l'chelak Ba'avdus. And of course, the wine was misused, and it led to the perverse behavior of Ham and Canaan became cursed with a life of Avdus, and it was all because Noach made a bad choice. So a person has to always try, at every stage of life, to move the bar upward, not, God forbid, downward. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? The opposite is Moshe. Aval Moshe, bottom right-hand corner, Aval Moshe l'umazos, chaviv Moshe, shayatavid b'matzav shalaliyah. If you look at Moshe's life, he goes from being a grandson of Paro to being a person of moral consciousness to save the Jew who's being beaten by the Mitzri, to becoming a person who becomes, right, with great hesitation, a leader of Klal Yisrael, to become the one who's going to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, to the one who puts his life on the line for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Moshe, you see, the trajectory of his life is kulo aliyah. V'achrei shenikra ish mitzri, shagam oz hayiv madregas nevuah l'mal mikol. Even at the point he's called ish mitzri, he had already made some significant choices. V'achrei kol hamora hagadol v'yad chazaku l'kol ha'osos v'amosim sh'asa l'nei kol Yisrael. V'shenitna Torah al yado. Even though Moshe accomplished all these wondrous things, he was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's shliach, and the Torah was given to him. Lo paska aliaso va'amalo. Moshe never stopped. That's why, how does the Torah describe Moshe? The last page of the Torah. What do we see about Moshe? First of all, vayelech Moshe, on the last day of his life. He's still vayelech, he's still going around. He's a person who's constantly going, always trying to raise himself up. Right? There's a sefer called Karban Ha'ani, of Yaakov Katina, which is in Chust. hunger. So he says there, he says, Moshe, he contrasts Moshe's rebuke of Klal Yisrael with Moshe himself. What does Moshe say to Klal Yisrael? Atem nitzavim hayom. Atem nitzavim, you're standing here today. I mean, you're standing still. As opposed to what? The next parsha, Vayelech Moshe. Moshe's a holich. So Jews, he's warning them, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in your place. You have to always try to grow. And that's what it says about Moshe. Mamash, the end of the Torah. What does it say? Moshe ben meyeh ve'esrim shana v'moso. Lo chahasa eino v'lo nas lecho. Moshe's eyes have not dimmed, and his vigor has not diminished. Endless strength, always, always doing. Moshe died only because Hashem said he had to die. But he was full of energy, always trying to raise himself up. Moshe never retired. Moshe never decided, okay, Ad Kan, now it's time for me to just sit back and take it easy. He saw himself as a beginner who was always striving for more. I was thinking, when I was reading this piece over Shabbos and reviewing it this morning, I was thinking that it says that what? It says that Chaviv Haya Moshe Minalach. They use the Lashon of Chaviv. So I was thinking, everyone wonders about the Rambam's famous expression that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah Chaviva Hiyavod. So it fits very nice here. If we're saying that the chavivus of Moshe Rabbeinu is what, exactly? Is to be in a constant state of aliyah, that's exactly what Hanukkah is. Again, I'm not sure why chaviv is the word that captures that. But if chaviv here in the Medrash means that Moshe was in a constant state of aliyah as opposed to Noach, who had a Yerida, so we understand that Ner Hanukkah, which is the ultimate mitzvah, the ultimate expression of Moshe V'Holech, in accordance to the Shittos Beis Hillel, so then it makes a lot of sense. That Ner Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva, yad mod. There's a certain chavivas. There is a certain chavivas. It is an amazing thing. Like you see like an older person who's still growing, you know? Who's still steiging, like wants to be better. You see an 80-year-old man, and he like wants to, and he's looking for ways. You see him walking around with like pathway to prayer, you know? Trying to like improve his Shemana Esrei. Or whatever it is, a person who just at every stage of life wanting to grow. That's a very special thing. It's very chavit. Uve'emes ki kol ha'amel v'chol ha'maisim shadamosa. All of the efforts that a person makes in this world, afilu maisim gedolim biyoser, even one's biggest accomplishments, ein zen nesina mitzad ha'adam. A person has to realize that that's not your contribution. Ukmosh meshali meschovo. Right? Imagine a person borrows $1 million and then pays it back. So he says, are you going to put up a plaque that says, I gave $1 million? No, you gave back $1 million that you borrowed. You didn't give $1 million as a donation. You paid what you owed. So the same thing is true. When a person makes efforts in this world and has success, he should realize all he's doing is paying back his chov. But even that, a person could say, like, well, at least I paid God back. God gave me life, and I paid him back by Torah and mitzvahs. Like, when can I retire? When can I just go home, put my feet up on the couch, and just relax? This is what life is about. Life is never about sitting back and just relaxing. Life is about what? It's about trying to lift yourself higher and higher. To be a Baal Madrega, to be a Ben Aliyah. Kihem chayenu. That's what life is. Ve'ein mitzias chayim acheres. And there is no life beside it. What gives value to life if not the fact that I'm striving for something? Again, the striving could be the slightest effort, as we'll see in the next piece, to just do a little bit more. But if I ever get to a point where I feel like I have no sense of obligation to do, something's not right. V'chol inyane hachomer v'nisyonos hachayim heim emtza'im sha'al yadam yusku hachayim hamitim. And all of the struggles of life and all of the substance of life is just to try to make life more real. The amel Torah v'avodas Hashem yisparach heim dafka v'mitziya zu shal nisyonos. That's why. Why is it that when a person tries to live a spiritual life, he's confronted by so many challenges? Because that must be the real stuff of life. Now look what he writes in the brackets here from the Vilna Gaon. V'yadua dehagra zal. Look at this line. It's a very strong line. Very sharp line. The Vilna Gaon, the Fnei Ptiraso Amar. When the Gra was about to leave this world, before he passed away, he said, Kama kasha liparid mizeha olam. How difficult it is for a person to leave this world. Sheba mitzvah kala detzitzis zochem v'ra'am p'nei ashchina. The Gemara says that a person who's mekayim mitzvah tzitzis is zochet to have an encounter with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gra says, for a couple of, kopecks in this world, exactly. A person zochet to do a mitzvah that's, all-encompassing. Tzitzis. Such an easy mitzvah. And in the next world, he says, for all the money in the world, you can't buy a mitzvah. So it says Rav Aaron Cutler, look at this line. This is an amazing line. V'acharei shezehu chayim be'etzem. So if you really believe that what? That growing defines living, that continuing to strive is the definition of life. And again, Rav Aaron Cutler, who barely survived, made it out of the Holocaust, came to America, built Lakewood with, again, like 15 guys in 1943, I think. And Rav Aaron passed away in 1962. So for those, 20 years that he was trying to rebuild Torah in America, right, there was just a sense of, they say about Rav Aaron Cutler, he was like single-minded in his willpower. He was very strong and very stubborn in a very good way. In terms of just wanting to do more and to do more and to do more and to do more. He's super genius. Super duper genius, Rav Aaron Cutler. But his ratzon to build and to rebuild and to do more was remarkable. His strength, his unbelievable strength. So look what he writes here. He says, if this is what life is, v'acharei shezehu achayim be'etzem, harei lo yitochein she'achshov dai li b'mashe sagti. If you believe that continuing to live in a Torah sense means what? Means accomplishing more. Means wanting to learn Torah better. Wanting to improve my midos. Wanting to daven better. Right? So how could a person ever say, I'm good. I've had enough. Thank you very much. Look at this line. Kishem shelo yitachin sha'adam ba'oda b'kochosav. Imagine a person is still alive, healthy, full strength. Imagine if a person says, you know what? Dai li b'masha chayisi ad achshav. I've lived enough. That's good. This is good. Right? Would any normal human being say that? Kind of person is ill or suicidal, God forbid. Right? But a normal person, imagine, a person's like very successful, doing great in life, really like, alive and well and good. Like, this is a good place to stop. I lived X number of years. This is good. I'm going to stop now. That's crazy. But if you believe that a life of Torah and mitzvot is life itself, so when a person says, like, I'm good in terms of my Torah and mitzvot, you're basically saying, I've lived enough. It's a strong line. If you think it's just, a way to enhance life, so then I understand that I don't need it so much. But if you really believe, kihem chayenu v'arachemenu, if you believe that Torah and mitzvot equals life, so the same way a person would never say, I think I'm satisfied, I've lived enough life, I'm good, I can die now. No, everyone wants to live another day. Everyone wants to live another year. So the same thing has to be true about my relationship with Torah and mitzvahs. I have to want another mitzvah. I want another blot of Gemara. I want another parak of Tanakh. I want a better Shemona Esrei and another Shemona Esrei. It's a very chashuv idea. So that was the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu, the life that's chaviv. Always in a state of aliyah, to go from being an ish mitzri to being an ish adokim. Okay, let's turn to the second piece. Turn to page Pehei. Okay, and you'll see how these two pieces complement each other nicely. Okay, another piece from Rav Aaron. Hama'at mimcha rav eslo. A little bit from you is a lot in Hashem's eyes. Meaning, on the one hand, we just learned a piece that says a person has to constantly be growing, and sometimes you feel very overwhelmed by such a thing. But again, growing doesn't mean leaps and bounds. Growing just means putting one foot in front of the other and trying to do a little bit better, a little bit more. Noach did a lot, but a little bit better he could have chosen after he came out of the world of the Mabel. He could have chosen differently. So look at this piece. This is an amazing medrash. Another amazing medrash. Okay, it's on the pasuk Vayomer Moshe Asura Navera Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. Moshe Rabbeinu notices the burning bush and he turns his attention to it, and Hashem notices Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. Hashem notices that Moshe notices. Look at this medrash. Asura Navera. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hey Psios Pasab Osasha. How much? When Moshe said, I'll turn aside, step off the main road to go check out this burning bush, how much did Moshe do, so to speak, to go to the burning bush? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Hey Psios Pasab Osasha. He took 5 steps. Moshe took a total of 5 steps. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yochanan said, nope, he didn't actually walk off the road at all. Hafach panav vehibit. He turned his head to look. That's all he did. He turned his head. Shenamar v'yar Hashem kisar liros. Hashem saw that sar. He turned. He turned to look. He didn't take 1 step in the direction of the burning bush. All he did was he turned his head. Okay? So explains Rav Aaron. Take a look at this. Lamadnu bazeh. Da'af shahayim Moshe Rabbeinu muchan l'nevuah. U'matukan lios gal Yisrael. Meaning, let's just go to that scene. Moshe standing on the road. He sees a burning bush on the side of the road. Yeah? So if I ask you, tell me, who is Moshe at this point? You'll say, Moshe is fit for Nevuah. Moshe is fit to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. Right? Meaning Moshe has all the quality. Moshe is in position to become the greatest Navi ever. Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe. And he's in position to become the greatest redeemer of the Jewish people, leader of the Jewish people. However, look at this. Achein b'nevuah rishona shel geula, this first nevuah, when Hashem is about to communicate with him, right, by way of a malach through the snebo er ba'ish, hayachoser adayin ishtadlus kala mitzido. Moshe was still lacking what? A little bit of effort on his part. He had to do something. Right? He needed one more key, so to speak, to unlock the door. And what's on the other side of that door? Moshe receiving nevuah, Moshe becoming the goal Yisrael, right, Hashem's shliach. He needed to do a tiny bit of his shtadlus. There was still something he had to do of his own effort. Kumo, hey psios l'Rabbi Yochanan, o ikum tzavaro l'Reish Lakish. 5 steps according to Rabbi Yochanan, or turning his head according to Reish Lakish. Va'af shekvar nasu al yado inyanam gedolim. And even though Moshe had already established himself again as being what? Again, I think this complements the previous piece so well. Because what it's saying here is that Moshe was already so outstanding. But look what happens when a person stops short of just one more tiny effort. So you'll think, okay, so it's one more little effort. It's one more mitzvah. What if that one more effort, that one little bit of effort, that one more mitzvah, that one additional tefillah is the difference between that breakthrough success and that feeling of frustration? What if a person's a chola, and again, it's scary to say such a thing, we don't know, we never know, but imagine a person who's sick, right, and a million prakim of Tehillim have been recited for his refuah. Right? And what if a million and one was the ticket to his refuah shlema? And we stop short because we were frustrated, like we davened enough, it's not working. Or what if one more effort to try to learn that sefer that's so hard for you to learn, which you decided I'll never be able to learn the sefer, right? What if you try it one more time and all of a sudden it clicks? And after the rest of your life, you feel like you know how to learn that sefer? Or you know how to learn that daf of Gemara on your own? So, says Rav Aaron Cutler, Moshe's nevuah, which is right, that first nevuah of Geula, which is right around the corner, is literally 5 steps away, or one turn of the head away from becoming true. Again, Moshe's already achieved great things. Right? Moshe's already proven himself to be a person who's paying attention. He's paying attention to the suffering of the Jews. He already killed the mitzvah. He was beating up the Jew. And yet Hashem says, but if you don't turn one more time, if you don't turn in my direction one more time, the whole thing's off. Moshe already has achieved so many madrigos in terms of perfecting his character. Ukmokin Masr Nashol Asakana. He already put his life on the line when he saw that Mitzri, who was Makad the Ish Me'achiv. Achein Chaseira Adayin Nekuda Kala Kazos. But maybe you need to do one more little thing. It wasn't Moshe just being curious. It was Moshe trying to understand the ways of Hashem. And maybe making that one more effort to try to be connected to Hashem is going to be the difference between becoming a Moshe Rabbeinu and just, you know, being a concerned human being of moral character, which is not nothing. Rav Aaron Cutler says, Ilule, look at this line, Ilule hatenua hazos, if not for that last little bit of effort, that last motion, tenua, that last movement of Moshe, haisa hanavua mu keves achshav, the nevua would have been withheld. V'yesh lilmod mizeh limud gadol v'nora, says Rav Aaron, what an amazing lesson. Ki af achare yigios gedolos v'nisyonos. Moshe had already, again, been through a lot. At kama hisrashlis katana alula lahasir tova ruchnis gedola kamo nevua. Imagine if a person's one step away from becoming a Navi and he stops short. Imagine a person collapses at the finish line. He ran a marathon and he collapses at the finish line and can't finish the race. How tragic is that? After all the effort, you're so close. He would have just tried a little bit more. Again, no one knows where that threshold is, where that breaking point is. You see it also with Moshe Rabbeinu when he davens his 515 tefillos to get into Eretz Yisrael, right? Veschanan al Hashem. Davens 515 tefillos and Hashem says, don't daven anymore. But what's understood from the Sarim is that what? That had he davened 516, it would have worked. Hashem asked him, Moshe, I'm asking you not to daven 516th time. Don't push through. I'm asking you not to. And Moshe obediently, you know, respected the Dvar Hashem, right? But who would think, like, oh, I davened 515 Shemona Esther and I'm not answered. 516 is going to make a difference? The answer is yes. 516 might make the difference. People get so frustrated. It's interesting. Moshe himself, at the end of the parsha, is feeling frustrated, right? He says, Hashem, all my efforts are backfiring. Every time I try to go to power, or I try to help, it gets worse. And Hashem says, Moshe, be patient. You'll see. It's going to work. Your efforts are not in vain. And this becomes the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that willingness to try to do something. You never know. You never know how it'll go. I tried already. Try again. Think about Bas Paro saving Moshe. Rav Zalman Tsaratskin, there's Naim Latorah. You know what he says? He says the Bas Paro comes down to the river. She sees the thing is, the water is flooded with babies who are drowning because Paro had made his decree. Kol ha-ben ha-yilod ha-yor tashlichu, all Jewish babies into the river. So imagine, she sees, what do you do when you see, 1,000 babies drowning in the river? You say, I can't save them all, so I'm not going to do anything. You save one. Right, the starfish story, exactly. So you save one. No, so Rav Zalman Tsaratskin says, so she saved one. She picked an easy one to save. He was in a basket. Right? So she saved one. And that one became Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Zalman Tsaratskin says, you never know. You never know what the next one is going to be. Moshe, burning bush, all right, a curiosity. No, Moshe wants to understand that this is a, he sensed there's a godly image here. He made a tiny effort to go towards the bush. And that was the difference between becoming the Shliach Hashem and that. And that was Moshe's own life story. He was saved by a woman who said, I'll try to do a little bit. Try a little bit. Or according to the Medrash, that her arm stretched out, you know. Why bother putting out your arm if you can't reach? Okay, I'll try a little bit. That's Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life also. Right? The Gemara says on the Pasuk, Oev Kesef Lo Yisba Kesef. Person who loves money is never satisfied. Always wants more. So the Gemara in Makos says, who's that a reference to? It's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Person who loves mitzvahs is never satisfied with mitzvahs. How many main Arei Miklat are there? Cities of refuge for someone who kills Bishogi. How many main Arei Miklat are there? How many? There's six main Arei Miklat and then 42 other ones. Corresponds to the six words of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then the 42 words of Ahavta. There's a deep Torah there. But there's six main Arei Miklat, and where are they situated? Three in Eretz Yisrael. What's the halacha? The halacha is, for any of them to function, for them to work, you need the six to be set up. So the Gemara says, look how much Moshe loved mitzvos and his willingness to do something, even if it doesn't, like an average person, which doesn't make any sense. Moshe set up the three Arei Miklat outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's the point? You know you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. You know you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And also, Moshe, you know that the three in Chutz La'aretz don't function until the three in Eretz Yisrael are functioning. So what's the point? So the Gemara says, Oev kesef lo yisba kesef. Like a person who loves money, they're never satisfied. It's like the billionaire who needs like to make another $1 million. Like what's the point? I love it. I just love it. I love being involved with it. So Moshe Rabbeinu loved. He loved mitzvahs. So he set up a mitzvah that didn't even make sense. It wouldn't even function. It wouldn't even work. But he said, I'll do what I can. That was the willpower of Moshe Rabbeinu to do every little bit that he could. And again, sometimes those little bits, again, what's the title of this piece? Hama'at bimcha rav etzlo. Well, it's a little deal for you. It's a small thing for you is a big deal by Hashem. It counts much more than you could have ever imagined. So I think it's a nice contrast. Again, you see the Moshe Rabbeinu being saved by Bas Paro. You see Moshe Rabbeinu making an effort to turn towards this now. You see Moshe Rabbeinu setting up the Ari Miklat, even though they're not collate, they don't protect until all six are set up. And yet the flip side is we also have a very human moment where Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the parsha is feeling frustrated, like all my efforts are in vain. Right? I'm trying to go to Paro and it's just getting worse for the Jews. No. Hashem says, like, even Moshe Rabbeinu gets frustrated sometimes with you know, trying and feeling like it doesn't go anywhere. But he also knows full well from these other examples that what? That if you try, sometimes again, that little extra effort, those five steps or that extra turn of the head made all the difference in the world. I'm just remembering now, there's a maisa with the Vilna Gaon's wife. You know, this maisa, the Vilna Gaon's wife and her friend, they made a deal. They said, come back after whoever dies first is going to come back and tell us what happens in the world of truth. So the Vilna Gaon's wife's friend passed away. And she came back to Rebbetzin Vilna Gaon in a dream. And she said, remember what she said? She said, what they say about the din in the world of truth is true. Everything is very precise there. What was shocking to me, she says to Mrs. Rebbetzin Vilna Gaon, she said, remember that time we were trying to collect tzedakah for a particular poor woman or a poor person? Yeah, I remember the time. And you remember how, as we were walking down the street, we were on our way to try to gather some funds. Remember how we saw that wealthy woman across the street, who we knew could help us. So she says, "Yeah, I remember." She said, "I remember how we flagged her down, we waved her down, we made a hand gesture to get her attention." So she said, "Yes, I remember." So she said, even that was part of the cheshbon and the olam habas. That even that extra effort we made to get her attention. You know, a second sooner. We could have walked over to her also. Right? We could have walked up to her and then asked her for the donation. But the fact that we made an extra effort to call out and to wave our hand to get her attention, even that, the moving of the hand, made a Roshim and Shemayim. That little bit of extra effort made a Roshim and Shemayim. Amazing story. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood, right, that a little bit of extra effort goes a long way. Okay, let's finish the piece. Uve'emez dibe chazal elu meduyakim balashon apasuk. Diksiv vayomer Moshe asura navera. Samara hagadol hazeh. Excuse me, the words of chazal, this machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, is very much alluded to in the pasuk, because Moshe says, I'm going to turn aside to see this wondrous thing. And then the pasuk says, vayar Hashem kisar liros. And God saw that he turned to look. Like, what do you need that pasuk for? Asher lechor miyutar. What do you need, Hashem? Moshe says, I'm going to turn to look. So what do you need? And Hashem saw that he turns to look. Ach ashma idan kadesh chalel. But you know what it teaches us? She lulei shenitztayer leida lo haya niglela. Had he not turned to look, had he not made that extra little bit of effort, Hashem, had he not noticed Hashem a little bit more, Hashem would have not noticed him a little bit more. But afsham mechuvan b'chol amara haya hanavu l'moshe minu. Even though Hashem is signaling to him. Right, and he wants him to. But had Moshe not, again, made that extra little effort, turn to the last page, Hashem would not have reached out to him. Have a little bit of laziness, of weakening of effort. How significant it could be. Right? Sometimes a person, you have an idea and you don't pursue it. And as you get to the Olam HaEmes and Hashem says, that idea, That could have changed the world, that idea. You thought it was just a small idea. For you, it was a small idea. For me, it was made a big difference, Hashem says. And I'm sad that you abandoned that effort. Okay, Rav Aaron Cutler, Kedarko B'Kodesh, concludes with a Medrash in Shir HaShirim, which highlights this idea with regard to Limud Torah. Amr Rabbi Chanina, right, he gives a mashal. What's a mashal? Of Lebe'er Amuka Malei Amayim. Imagine a deep well that's filled with delicious spring water. V'haya Meimeha Tzonanim V'tukim V'tovim. And its water is cold, and it's sweet, and it's fresh, and it's pleasing. V'lohay Sabriya Yechol Lishtos Mimana. But it's deep in the well, and it's out of reach. No one can reach the waters. Ba'adam Echad. Imagine a fellow comes along, and he says, I'm going to help humanity reach this magnificent water. What does he do? V'sipik lo chevel b'chevel, and he starts to attach a rope to another rope. M'shicha b'mashicha. Right, a rung to a rung. V'dala b'mano v'shasa. And he lowers the rope down, deep into the well. He ties one rope to another rope, and one ring to another ring. Till he lowers it down, this huge rope with a bucket at the end. He lowers it down and he starts to draw the water and to drink. He is chila kol dolin v'shosin. And now everyone starts to what? To draw from that well and to drink, thanks to his contraption. Kach mi davar le davar, mi mashal le mashal. Amad Shlomo al soda shel Torah v'chula. So too Shlomo HaMelech used one mashal and another mashal and one idea and another idea, and he connected the ideas until he was able to access what? New depths of Torah that the world had not seen. V'hainu de b'Torah mashlo l'dola mayim amukim. The same thing is true when it comes to you want to understand the deep piece of Torah. So it's like a person who wants to draw water from a deep well. So what does he need to do? Tzarech likshor chulya b'chulya, shalshalis b'shalshalis. He needs to attach piece to piece, rung to rung, v'harei. But here's the part that Rav Aaron is trying to emphasize. Imagine, it's a simple mashal, but it helps us to think in the spiritual realms as well. Imagine a person, imagine the water is 100 feet deep. So a person ties a rope to another rope, to another rope, to another rope, to another rope. He makes such a tremendous effort, and the rope is 99 feet deep. It's 99 feet long. And he lowers it into the well, and he comes up empty-handed. He says, see, I told you there's no water here. Chaval, you worked so hard to make that rope, to tie together that it should be strong, it should be sturdy, it should be firm. Had you just made it 1 foot longer, you would have reached the sweetest waters in the world. It was so close. It was mamish a foot away from being your new reality. And you could have shared it with others, like in this mashal, right? This fellow who made the rope, which was able to then, service not only himself, but so many others. And therefore a person has to realize that every little bit of effort, you don't know. You don't know what's going to be, so to speak, in a positive sense, the straw that breaks the camel's back. You don't know which effort, which tefillah, which word of Torah is going to lead to that spiritual breakthrough, which effort in Amunah is going to totally transform your relationship with Hashem. So that's the avodah, to be growing juice. It's good food for thought as we come to the break, to set goals, to say, I tried hard, but I can try if I try a little harder. Would it make a big difference? I don't know. Maybe. It would make a huge difference. Maybe it's the difference between being a Navi and a Shliach of Klal Yisrael versus being just a decent guy who saved a couple of maidens in distress at a well. Had Moshe not made that extra effort, it would have been a different story. All right, so we should be Zocha, be growing Jews and make that extra effort. Shkoyach. Thank you guys for coming. It's good to learn a little Torah together. Start the week. What's the plan for the